Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Christians in the Greek city of Corinth, he was addressing a congregation with many different kinds of problems within their Christian congregation. They had problems with factionalism, this little clique and that little group of members kind of speaking behind each other's backs, backstabbing each other, saying that they were better than the others. And that led to problems in their worship life. Even in their celebration of the Lord's Supper, they were playing favorites and not sharing the elements of that precious meal. They had problems with pride, with different kinds of disputes, with misuse of spiritual gifts, gifts that God had given to them to build each other up. They were using for their own glory, for their own pride. They had problems of moral judgment, permitting open sin among their members in their church. In our sermon text for today from 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul discusses what is perhaps the key to the whole situation in that church in Corinth, to all of the problems that he addresses throughout this letter. He discusses the question of love. When Paul describes the gift that he encourages those Corinthian Christians to pursue, the greatest of all spiritual gifts, he was not implying that love was completely absent from the members of that church in Corinth. But he does suggest that their love doesn't measure up to the love of Christ, the love that God demonstrated for us by sending his own Son to give up his life for our salvation. We see here in our text, especially in chapter 13, that Paul talks about the qualities of genuine love that distinguish it from the not-so-genuine love that people in our world today so often manifest in their lives. Genuine love is selfless, not selfish. What so many people call love is so often so much less than true, genuine, selfless love. Much love that we see in the world around us today, that we so often see within ourselves, in fact, ends up being self-serving rather than giving. Sometimes the deeds that people perform may look very sacrificial, but they may in fact be the products of pride rather than of true love and concern and devotion that cares about the other person's well-being. People love material things because of their value. They love things that are unique or that give them special status in the eyes of others. Often people demonstrate this kind of love in their dealings with other people. Their motives are selfish. Their actions are designed to benefit themselves. Many of the same spiritual gifts that were in abundance in the church of Corinth are still present in God's church today. Perhaps not so many of the spectacular supernatural gifts of speaking miraculously in other languages or miraculously being able to heal other people. Yet we see many of those same gifts of love and concern for others, leadership abilities, being able to build each other up. Yet without the underlying gift of genuine love for others, these things can still be as hollow as a clanging gong or a resounding cymbal. Genuine love is active. People spend a lot of time talking about love, discussing their emotional involvement, romantic interest, their concern, their empathy for others, but they may never really put that love and concern into action in their lives. In effect, so often what passes for love is sometimes little less than shallow idealism. It produces a lot of talk and great plans, but not always the action that reaches out and addresses the needs and problems that others are actually facing. Too often our love is passive rather than active. It tends to be withdrawn and introspective rather than actively involved in the needs of others. Genuine love is also enduring. Our love often tends to grow cold quickly. Sometimes people get very excited about a new project or a new need, But as soon as that particular need passes out of the spotlight, well, then the love that was manifested seems quickly to grow cold. Sometimes, for example, it's fashionable to be involved in certain charitable activities, but genuine love endures even when attention has shifted to another problem to focus on. Genuine love continues to give until the needs have been met or the problems have been solved. In contrast to so much of the love that we see around us in the world today, and in contrast to the love that must have been evident in the Corinthian congregation, God demonstrates genuine love in his dealings with us. The most dramatic evidence of God's love is revealed to us in the sending of his own Son to be our Savior. God sent his Son to be our substitute, to die on the cross so that we might be rescued from our enslavement to sin and death. God's love is above all a selfless love. There was nothing for God to gain in giving his Son to be our Savior. We had nothing to offer God in exchange for what he was going to do for us. No, as God tells us in his word, while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God and opposed to his will, blatantly sinning against him and his commandments, he died for us. While we were spiritually dead in our transgressions and sins, God nevertheless made us alive with Christ in his great mercy. God's love flows out of his eternal concern for us, the crown of his creation. His love is the love of a father for even the most wayward and prodigal of his children. The total selflessness of God's love is what makes it so unbelievable, such amazing grace, and so often so very hard for people to accept. How could God love that terrible sinner, that murderer, that criminal? God's love is active. He is the one who acted. He reached out in a decisive way to rescue and deliver us from the clutches of sin and the devil. God took the initiative. If God had not acted, we would have no hope, because we are by nature unable to respond to God, unable to take even one step in his direction, unable even to reach out our hand to grab onto him. There is nothing passive about God's love. God actively sent his own Son into the world in our human flesh and blood and soul in order to redeem his fallen creation. God's love can be adequately described only by active verbs, the kind that the Apostle Paul uses to describe genuine love here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God's love is enduring. What God did for us through Jesus has eternal consequences because he has rescued and redeemed his people, because he has placed his name on us in baptism and called us to be his own. We now share an eternal relationship with him. We are his dearly loved sons and daughters forever because of the saving work of Jesus. And the result of that eternal covenant that God has made with his people is that his love does not end. His mercy endures forever. God showed that enduring love to his chosen Old Testament people, the Israelites, during the years of their wandering in the wilderness. Time after time, the people of Israel forgot about God's goodness. They complained about their difficulties. They even asked to be returned to the land of Egypt, where they were slaves, to go back to that slavery in Egypt from which God had so graciously rescued them. But despite their ingratitude and their lack of faith, God still remained faithful to his covenant promise to their forefathers that he would give them the land of Canaan as he had promised to them. In the words of the psalmist, his mercy endures forever. The words of a cherished Lenten hymn describe this amazing love of God that he showed to us in sending his Son. My song is love unknown. my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? God's love for us, love that is selfless, active, and enduring, enables us as his people to begin to love others in the same way that God has loved us. God's love works in our lives to create that same kind of compassion and concern that move God to give of himself so that we might have life. God's love enables us to give ourselves in true selfless ways. The hands that give and share and touch will be different hands. They will demonstrate a selfless love that reaches out not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of those whom we seek to help. God's love working in us means that our hands will become like his hands, hands that reach out to touch, to heal, to comfort, to console, and to lift up. Our love can be changed into a giving, caring love that does not count the cost or look for reward or repayment. God's love will enable us to be active in our love. If the love of Jesus, our Savior, becomes the pattern for our love, we will be changed. Instead of merely talking about love and concern, we will actually begin to demonstrate that love and concern for others in our lives. We'll begin to take initiative to reach out, to help, and to touch those who are in need. It's often easy for us just to talk about the problems of others, but genuine love does not stop just with concern. It seeks to answer the needs of others, to respond in a positive way that will bring about true healing and change. God's love for us was just that kind of love, and his love works in our hearts so that we too will be enabled to love in that same way. God's love will enable our love to be enduring as well, just as his is. Genuine love will be patient and long-suffering. It will go the extra mile, even for those who are very hard to love. Real love will remember that we ourselves are not easy for God to love, and yet God persevered in loving us. He loved us even in our unlovableness. Genuine love will be prepared to forgive and to endure without keeping record of wrongs. It will accept those who are seen by others as unlovable, as unacceptable. It will not be as concerned about counting the cost as about investing itself completely in the lives of others. The love that God has demonstrated for us is the love that he wants us to demonstrate for others in our own lives. And this love, used in conjunction with all the other gifts that the Spirit distributes to the members of his body, the church, edifies and builds up the whole body of Christ, the whole church of God, the family of believers. Love makes all those other spiritual gifts worthy of those who are part of the body of Christ. Love transforms the gift of prophecy, of teaching, of healing, of administration, and of all other gifts, and makes them acceptable and useful and profitable for the family of believers. Love makes it possible for the efforts of elders and teachers and music directors and ushers and pastors and cleaners and secretaries and greeters and many others to serve together in the body of Christ. Genuine love transforms even what seems like the most insignificant action into a true spiritual gift done in service to others. The love that God demonstrated to us in his Son, Jesus, is the love to which the Apostle Paul was calling the Christians in the city of Corinth. And today that same call from God is extended to each of us. We are called, as the Apostle Paul put it, to seek this most excellent way, the way of genuine love. And our model will always be the love of Jesus, a love that is selfless, active, and enduring. It will be a love that accepts, that builds up, that reaches out in forgiveness. It will be a love that is distinguishable from the love of common human nature, a selfish, self-seeking kind of love, because this love will be true and genuine, a love that flows from the heart of God himself. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.